Today, we continue with lesson number 30 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We will be continuing in the 8th Perek with the 8th Mishnah and with the 9th Mishnah. Perek Ches, Mishnah Ches, and Mishnah Tes. In Mishnah Ches, the Tanur that we've been speaking of is wider at the bottom, becomes narrower toward the top, and all of the baking is done within the walls of the tanur. In fact, the loaves of bread are actually stuck, adhered to the walls of the tanur where they bake, and they are removed from the tanur, from the walls of the tanur. The wood, which fuels the tanur, enters the tanur from the bottom. At the bottom of the tanur, you have an opening, and into that opening you put wood. Suppose now you find the sheretz, Mishnah Ches, nimtza mekom hanochas ha'etzim. You find the sheretz in that opening in the bottom of the tanur through which the wood is pushed. And of course, the wall of the tanur itself has a certain thickness. By the way, as we continue through this Mishnah, we will see that it's better to assume that we're not speaking of what we've been calling a tanur, but rather we're speaking about what we've been calling a kiro, which is essentially the same thing as a tanur, except that instead of baking the bread or whatever on the side of the inner walls, you place a pot on top of this kiro, or two pots in the case of a kiro, and the pots cook from the heat of the kiro, which is below it. Either way, tanur or kiro, the wood enters from a hole in its bottom, and the walls of the kiro are a certain width. Let's say the walls are a foot wide, 12 inches wide, and you push the wood under those 12 inches until the wood enters into the tanur itself and heats up the tanur. So if you find the sheretz in that opening in the bottom of the tanur through which the wood is pushed, but it's in within the thickness of the walls of the kiron, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, min hasofo hachitzona v'lifnim, as long as the sheretz is found in the space of the wall, in the hole in the wall of the kiron, from the outer rim of that wall inward, v'lifnim tome, because Rabbi Yehuda considers the wall, the thickness of the wall of the tanur of the kira, also to be part of the kira and therefore tome. However, the chachamim say no, the thickness of the wall of the kira is not considered part of the kira. Only the airspace of the kira is considered part of the inner part of the kira. So therefore, the Chachamim Omer, Misofo HaPanimis V'Lachutz, as long as the Sheretz is found from the inner rim of the wall, of the thickness of the wall, V'Lachutz, outward toward the outer part of the thickness of the wall, toward the outside, toward the entrance into the hole, Tohor, the Kira remains Tohor. Rabbi Yossi says something else. Rabbi Yossi Omer, look, on top of this Kira, and the kira has a wall, in our example, 12 inches wide, whereas, 12 inches thick, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is machmir and says if the sheretz is found anywhere within that 12 inches, it is tome. The chachamim are lenient and say if it's found anywhere within the 12 inches, it is tohor. Rabbi Yossi says, wait, the pot is sitting on the top of that wall. That's where the pot stays. The top of that wall, 12 inches thick in our example, is the Mokom Shefisa Sakdera. That's where you place the Kedera. So, but the Kedera, let's say if the wall is 12 inches thick, the Kedera only occupies the inner 3 inches of that wall. The outer 9 inches are not where the Kedera rests. So Rabbi Yossi says, if the Sheretz is found, you draw a line down the wall. And if the sheretz is found mikneged shefisa sakdera v'lifnim, if it's found in those innermost 3 inches of the wall in toward the kira, then the kira is tomei. But if mikneged shefisa sakdera v'lachutz, if in our example The sheretz is in the outer 9 inches of the thickness of the wall, tahor. And it's considered not part of the kira, it's not in the kira, and the kira remains tahor. The Mishnah continues. And here we have to imagine a huge tanur, a big tanur, industrial tanur. In the walls of this industrial tanur, there was a little cavity in which the mechanic, the person who does whatever is being done in the tanur, the baker, the dyer, the mikveh heater, the bath heater, etc., sits. He actually has a little bench in the walls of the tanur. That's how big this tanur is. So that little chamber in the walls of the tanur, this huge tanur, where the person who operates the tanur sits, that is not part of the tanur as far as the dinim of tumah and tahara are concerned, says the Mishnah. Nimso mikom yeshivas habalon. If the sheretz is found in this little chamber in the walls in which the balon, the person who heats up the bathhouse, in other words, he's heating the tanur to get heat up water for the bathhouse, or makom yeshivas hatsaba, or where the dyer, D-Y-E-R, is sitting, and he's using the tanur to cook up his dyes, or makom yeshivas shel sholkei zeisim. It seems that if the zeisim, or the olives, were in such a state, hardened, that squeezing them would not extract the oil, so therefore they would overcook these zeisim in order to extract the oil. So the mekom yeshivas shel sholkei zeisim, the people who cook these hardened zeisim, would sit in all these examples tor, because this little chamber is not part of the tanur proper. Ein tomei, the Mishnah concludes with a rule. Elo min hastima v'lifnim. Only from the closing, from the door of the little chamber through which the balon puts in or extracts whatever he's cooking, hot water or hardened zeisim or whatever. Only from the place where the tanur is closed off and inward is the proper tanur, the tanur proper, which can become tomei through this sheretz. Mishnah test continues. Bor. Our girsa is bor. Not other. The Rambam has a girsa here, kur, chof, vavresh, but our girsa is bor, beis, vavresh. So if you have a hole in the ground, a pit in the ground, and the pit is lined with mud plaster, with tit, bor, sheyesh bo beis shefisa, on the top of the bor, you construct a little place upon which you can put a pot, and you can start a fire in the bottom of the bor, and it will cook the pot on this shefisa, this beis shefisa. This is a bona fide oven, or kira, tomei. It is, can become tomei, it's roi lekabil tuma, if a sheretz or whatever is inside of it. The same thing is true, v'shel beis, v'shel osei zechuchis. The same is true if in this pit is being made, used for those people who manufacture glass out of sand, etc. So they use this pit for actual cooking, heating, etc. If it has a rim upon which you can place a pot, tome, it's mekabel tuma. Similarly, kivshon shel sayodin, a furnace of those people who burn sid, who burn a type of cement, a lime plaster, or v'shel zagogim, those who make glass blowers, v'shel yotrim, or clay manufacturers, and they have this type of a furnace. But this furnace, notice, of the sayodin, the yotzrim, they're not made for food, they're made for producing vessels of plaster, of glass, of clay. Tahora, such a construct, such a kifshon, such a furnace is not mekabel tumah, because it's not made for baking or cooking, even with a beis shefisa, even if it physically has all of the elements that we've been studying. But it's not made for baking or cooking. It has no halacha of tanur v'kirai. Now the Mishnah comes to another type of variation of a stove or an oven, which we have not encountered before in this Masechet. Purna. That is something which is called a purna. A purna is a tanur in that it is a totally enclosed klicheres with a door in its side, instead of on the top, the door is on its side, like our ovens. And instead of taking the bread and putting it against the walls of the tanur, as would happen in the case of a tanur, in the case of a purno, the cake or bread or whatever is cooked on the ground of this purno, on the ground. So if that's the way it's constructed, it's just a box and the stuff that you're baking is on the ground, that's not mekabel tumah. However, if you fix it up in such a way that im yesh lo lizbeis, it has a little fence around it upon which you can place kederos, so that you're not only using the ground, but you're using the airspace in the tanu, in the purna, to heat up pots of food, then and only then is it tumeya, is it mekabel tumah. But without a lizbeis, it's just a box where you're putting bread to cook on the floor, and it's not mekabel tumah because it's only made to be used together with the floor, together with the earthen floor. And that is not sufficient to give it the shame, the name tanur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im yesh lo istogios. The Tanakhama says that what makes it into a, from a plain purna, which is not mekabel tumah, to a purna, which is mekabel tumah, is a lizbeis. Rabbi Yehuda says, im yesh lo istogios. If it has some type of holes in it so that it resembles a tanur. Or Rabbi Gamliel says, im yesh lo sifoyos, it has lips around it upon which you can place kederos. Interestingly, the Bar Tanura brings b'shem rabosov, in the name of his teachers, that lizbeis, istagios, and sifoyos are all one and the same thing. They are three different words. All it means is some type of a shelf in the inner walls of the purna upon which you can place kederos, which then renders it into a purna which is mekabel tumah, because it's not just cooking on the ground, you're cooking on these shelves, you're cooking kederos. Aye, Wiley Tanekama and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Gamliel give three different words for the same thing. The answer is that the halacha is chayev odom lomar kilashon rabo. You must always try to teach your students using the same language that your teacher taught you with. And in this case, the Tanakama's Rebbe taught him the word lizbeis. Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe taught him the word istagios. Rabbi Gamliel's Rebbe taught him the word sifoyos. So they all use the words that they heard from their Rebbe back in the yeshiva. But they're really speaking about the same type of thing. And so we've completed Mishnah Tes of Perek Ches, and in the process concluded lesson number 30.